Hey, good evening, gang. It's good to be with you here this evening on our 1 Corinthians Rewind. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this week. And if you weren't with us here on Sunday, you know that this is one of those famous chapters in Scripture. And as we discussed on Sunday, many times you might have heard pieces of this chapter in weddings or some poetic situation or a poetic event. But we want to look at it tonight, just as we did on Sunday, to really seek what it is that God wants us to gather from this. And I think it's more than just some sort of wedding fodder. So let's take a couple of minutes. Let's seek the Lord in prayer, and then we'll look into this for a little bit before we, at least here in Menominee, break off into small groups, okay? Father, it's good to be with my brothers and sisters tonight. Thank you for those who are digitally tuning in from throughout the world, wherever they might be. We pray for those who are out there in India, our brothers and sisters who are seeking to serve you in a very difficult environment, and our brothers and sisters in the Philippines, they too are still under COVID risks, and we just don't want to forget just because things have eased up here in America. We don't want to forget about our brothers and sisters that are out there. And I pray for your equipping and your comfort and your provision in these very difficult times. And again, thank you for this technology for us to come together like this. I pray for those who will be going into small groups, River Falls and here in Menominee, throughout the region here, for the discussions that we want to see take place, not just physically, but from the heart, after this brief rewind into 1 Corinthians 13. We praise your name. Amen. Now, certainly one of the greatest passions and pastoral priorities that have consumed me over these past 30 years of ministry is this battle, if you can put it that way, of this issue, this defining of the subject of love. Certainly everybody wants to be the recipient of love, right? Yet everyone is likely to have a very different definition of just what that looks like. Love, as defined at least by the world and the current culture in which we live in, tends to add, I guess I put it, other significant issues and aspects that are really their standalone facets. And each of these additions, of course, then greatly skew the meaning of love and further the manifest of the practice of love. For example, today we tend to add the word tolerance to love. Seems to be inseparable, it seems. Which, therefore, no doubt, I think needs defining on its own. I mean, even today, I don't know that we all really even know what the word tolerance means anymore. But you add that word to love, and I think we can all agree that it changes that original meaning of love. Especially that of agape love, God's perfect love. Now, other words and issues that get added to this aspect of love would be, supportive, unconditional, permissive, maybe fulfilled. And all of these aspects do not, however, necessarily make an appearance in the practice of true agape love. And then we roll in those seemingly mandatory emotional aspects that don't belong there. Self-centered outcomes that ultimately negate its origin. Conditional elements and temporal factors. What we ultimately are left with is something, a far cry from what love is, what agape love is, at its inception. Especially agape love. Now, again, over the years, I've attempted to drive home this core aspect of Christianity, this issue of what love we, the church, should be operating under. That which we are given by God and called upon to give one another is a very different animal from that which the world is dishing out, and we have to get that. So when I venture into this issue, I, however, have been repeatedly struck by what seems to me as so often consistent blank stares in response to my attempts to define and clarify this issue. And so I wonder if sometimes if maybe we've gone too far to find our way back. Or maybe we're just, quite frankly, clinging to our own modern worldly version of love to such a degree that, well, we're just white-knuckled and we're unwilling to relent and surrender this bogus version of Christianity, this bogan version of love. Now, that's a sad scenario. Because this one single issue has been a plague upon the church and has caused, I think, spiritually millions of deaths, if you will. No doubt, it will continue to be one of Satan's greatest and most successful weapons against the church, and his most successful weapons against the spread of true Christianity. So unless we clearly understand what this thing, agape love, really is, we're going to fail to ever know it, and we're certainly going to fail to ever experience it. And absolutely, we're never going to be able to pass it on. Remember, Paul is speaking concerning this issue because of its profound effect, and that effect may be negative or positive, but Paul is telling us this because it has such a profound effect upon the unity and the faithfulness of the local church. Again, in the plus range or in the minus, in the positive or to its detriment, this issue has a profound effect upon the church. It has some deep ramifications upon the use of our spiritual gifts and the consequences upon the witness of the local church, as well as certainly the greater church. So, according to 1 Corinthians, this love that is the love to be used within Christendom at large, as well as found in the pocket of every individual follower of Christ, this love is agape love. Specifically and only, Paul carefully defines this agape love this way. He says, no matter what gifts and talents that I possess, without agape love they are, and therefore I am, nothing. No matter what good works I conduct, without agape they are worthless and meaningless. He tells us agape is patient. Agape is kind. It's not jealous. It's not envious. It's not boastful or proud. Agape love is never arrogant. It's never selfish or rude. Agape doesn't demand its own way. It's not touchy or irritable. It doesn't hold grudges. And it will forgive and forget others' wrongs against me. Agape love never celebrates other people's pain or misfortune, but rejoices always in truth and justice. Therefore, agape is eminently and absolutely loyal, no matter what the cost. Agape always believes in others, always expects the best from them, and you'll always stand your ground defending others. So, bearing that description in mind, let me ask you straight up, do you truly know agape love? And do you agape love God? Hey, I'll go further than that and I'll ask, do you really agape love anybody? As I spoke of on Sunday, this issue has been relentless and has cost innumerable individuals their ministry, their church family, perhaps even their eternity. And I believe that every one of those casualties would and probably still will today tell you, argue with you, and insist that they are loving. But not according to this list, not according to this description, and that certainly is a fact. You see, the crucial aspect of agape love is a tangible aspect of the indwelling Holy Spirit in the life of that individual. So as we read, God more than brings us this love, more than exudes this love, He effectively is this love. Therefore, if we do indeed have Him, we have and know and practice the agape version of love. And alternatively, if we do not know, we do not practice this agape love, we therefore do not have God. Now look, I don't have to judge another person's spirit tonight to call this one. For God in Scripture already has done that for us. If I practice impatience and unkindness, if I am jealous, if I am envious of others, if I am controlled by my pride, if I am selfish and rude, if everything is ultimately about me, if I'm hypersensitive, if I'm easily irritated, if I tend to hold grudges and I'm unwilling to forgive others' wrongs against me, if I'm secretly happy when others suffer pain and misfortune, if at times I lie and I cheat, if I'm not loyal to my brothers and my sisters, and I'm unwilling to back them up and defend them, then all these things, any of these things, say, I do not have God. Now, certainly, we all stumble. We all err in these matters, as well as in so many others. That's not a debate this evening. We're not talking about some sort of perfect status here on this issue in order to be in possession of our Father and our Creator. However, I am speaking of those who practice these things, and when they are confronted concerning them, they refuse to repent and they refuse to correct. In that practice, I am therefore holding on to my sin, and Scripture, come on gang, we know it, is abundantly clear. And God, if does not hear you, and He does not know you. That's not my doctrine. That's not this church's doctrine. That's emphatic scriptural doctrine. 1 John 4:16 says, "And we have known and believed the Lord that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Look, the problem this evening for many of us is that we are at least, or we do at least superficially want this agape love, right? I mean, I think so many of us may be listening to my voice right now. It's like, yes, Pastor, but I want this. I want to receive and exercise and emanate agape love. But you know, man, I'm just not feeling it. Well, you know, that's because this has nothing to do with feelings at all. And so right from ground zero, you've left the path. This love is about a deliberate choice and a disciplined practice. You catch that? This love is not a matter of emotions and feelings. It's about a deliberate choice and a disciplined practice. The great commentator, Alan Redpath, said, quote, "It indicates love which deliberately, by an act of will, chooses its object, and through thick or thin, regardless of the attractiveness of the object concerned, goes on loving continually, eternally. It is a word that speaks of complete self-denial. To love in this way means never thinking of ourselves at all. The self-life does not enter into the picture." End quote. The proof of our failure to practice and our failure to even understand the definition of this issue is manifested in the world by a millennium of wars and inhumanities and atrocities going on out there. But you don't have to even go to the world for this, because we see it in the splits and the battles and the fights and the power struggles, even the childish tantrums that go on in the greater church. Look, ironically, without this true agape version of love, everything the church does, according to Paul the Apostle, is empty and worthless. Without true agape version of love, everything the church does is empty and worthless. It is, in Paul's words, nothing. I mean, even the grandiose gifts and efforts and sacrifices that we might make on behalf of the church, or behalf of a church, or on behalf of another individual, it's all still worthless if it's not motivated through agape version and attributes of love. The Bible is very clear on this, gang. Paul has already spoken of such in this very letter to the church in Corinth, way back in chapter 3. He said this, he said, "Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work, what sort it is. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through the fire." Now, one of the innate attributes of this agape love, and this is important because we want to be able to identify it and recognize it, one of the innate attributes of agape version of love is that it never fails. Meaning, if it eventually ceases, if your heart on this matter or on this person or on this issue sooner or later stops, if this love finally quits, then it wasn't and isn't agape love. And once again, it's nothing. That's why those who you would question, who have, you know, burned the village to the ground on the way out the door, and they are confronted, and that would claim, "Oh, no, 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 I absolutely love." Okay, but your love ceased. It stopped. It quit. And agape love never stops, never ceases, never quits. So you got a problem with your definition. When it ceases, your love is worthless. When it stops, your love is empty. It has no value to God, to you, or to the recipient. Thus, I can't help, therefore, to be struck by what amounts to perhaps years, maybe decades of effort and service in the lives of some individuals, only to find out that it was simply empty and without value because it ended. I wonder how many lifetimes have been given towards the pursuit of love, and God finds no value in it whatsoever because it wasn't agape love. It was just a worldly emotion. I mean, can anything be sadder than that? So as I close tonight and you go now to small groups, I hope you see by my dealing with this subject, and I hope you will come out of my dealing with this subject with a little bit of a greater understanding of why this issue has been such a critical passion in my life in ministry. Because it's the great satanic con. We somehow believe we are loving, but it's not God love. We somehow believe we still love, but it's not agape love because it has ceased, it has stopped, it has not lasted. And therefore, it's nothing, it's empty, it's hay and stubble. And the Bible, as the Bible says, it's burned, it's all gone, it's worthless. My heart and my desire for all of you that are listening tonight is that you come to understand agape love, that you, through the Holy Spirit, are filled with this agape love, that you receive that agape love from the Father as well as from each other, and that you give out that agape love to others around, because this is Christian love. This is the definition of walking in the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to see anybody throw away their lives, especially under the con of somehow that they're great and doing great things, when in reality Satan's ripping them off in this life and ripping them off in the next. So small groups, my heart goes out to you now. My prayers go out for you, and that you would have a great discussion now as you seek to find application to your own lives on this matter. And for those of you out there in the digital realm, take some time. Consider these things. Because this issue, this is what it all boils down to. Without this, we've got nothing.